Tane and Kingy.
All right, let's get stuck into it. Last night, what happened and why, and the fallout for both teams, particularly Port Adelaide. It's our review of the showdown for the Drain Man Drain Problems. Call the experts the Drain Man. Kingy, what are your first thoughts off the back of last night?
Well, my first thoughts you're well aware of coming in this morning. I still don't see how the Port Adelaide plan is going to beat the best in the competition. I think it's still a strong forward press that as soon as the good sides are able to pierce through, that they have too many strolling scores against them. And it's an issue that's still there that hasn't resolved itself. I don't think it's as simple as a one-man fix with Alirelia coming back in. I think that it's a systematic problem, not a personnel issue. You've made a whole host of changes in the off-season. So it's still there is my first thought. So where do you sit with the method, the plan? Does it beat the best?
Yeah, well, I was just watching last night going, how easily are they scoring? Like it was frightening. So I'm thinking there's an issue defensively. You're pressing too high. The ball is in your forward half. When you have stoppage dominance and you lock it in your forward half, all the numbers come up and press up aggressively, which is great. But as soon as you get through, it was just like a procession of easy goals. They had eight entries in the first quarter for five goals. Adelaide scored eight goals straight from inside 30, which says to me something broke down badly defensively. And you can talk about accuracy all you like, and we'll hear from Ken Inkley on that shortly. But the facts are when you get the ball in dangerous spots inside 30, you don't miss. And that's what Adelaide did last night. So
three thought, in the goal square, though. I mean, it's a type of goal that gives
correct.
You the accuracy.
Walking goals. So I thought they pressed too high. I didn't think they had any protection back, and I didn't think they adjusted to that quickly enough. That's one point. I thought they were incredibly fumbly. Adelaide's pressure was great, and the issue for Port Adelaide is when you play against good teams who bring really serious frontal pressure, they haven't been able to cope, and they fumbled the footy. They fell over. They coughed it up. I thought Butters fumbled at times. I thought Wines fumbled at times. He's really good late. Wines. I thought Drew fumbled for the first time I've seen him this year. I thought Burgoyne fumbled. I thought Rosie definitely fumbled early in the game. And there's a couple. Port Adelaide have the ball, cough it up, bang off turnover. What'd they kick off turnover? That was frightening. They kicked 8-5 off turnover to 1-13. So that doesn't work in big games. And Port Adelaide have been found out in big games again. So yeah, it was like a moment. I thought it was a big, I think a big moment in the context of where the club is going last night. Some games are bigger than others. Last night I felt like it was big in a way that...
Meaning, though?
Well, we know where it's at with Ken. Like we know where it's at. If it doesn't work, they've got plans in place to move Ken on. And Ken's fine with that. Not fine with that.
Who's got
Ken is comfortable
what do you mean by this?
With that. There's a succession plan in place. We know that. It's been reported. And Josh Carr, if things don't go well, and when I say don't go well, they're going to have to go deep. Well, that would be my thought on it. Yeah,
it
would.
He's got 2 years, hasn't he?
He's got a year after this. But, I mean, what does a contract mean? And I think they're comfortable with the fate of that. The question is that the right way to go? And look, there's a long way to go in the season. And last year there was a moment where they were struggling. They went on to win 13 in a row. And after next week, the draw opens up for them. So they're good enough to remain in the hunt, and I think they'll do that. But last night just felt a bit bigger than just your average home and away game. It's a showdown. They had a poor record in showdowns. They'd spoken a big game in the lead-up to showdowns in the past, and they'd been made to look a bit foolish. They didn't do that last night, which was the right thing to do. But the way they lost, how they lost, the risk that they took with the captain, it just felt bigger than a normal home and away loss to me last night. Whatever that means, I don't know. But that was a sense I got walking out of that stadium last night.
So you've sounds to me like you've lost confidence in the Ken plan.
Well, it's hard not to when you're not the plan. I've lost confidence in their ability to stand up consistently in big games against good opposition.
Is that the plan or is that the personnel?
Well, I don't think the plan, like if you're looking at the plan and you go, okay, we want to be really strong in the contest and we want to have field position dominance and we want to lock the ball in our forward half and bring elite pre- I don't think there's anything wrong with that plan. But there needs to be some adjustments to the plan. Well, when the opposition are getting through so easily, okay, you go, okay, well, they've kicked two off turnover walking goal. We're just going to sit a bit deeper with our defence, or we're going to have a wingman roll back harder, or we're going to have, not that you can get a Tom Stewart off the street, but we're going to have someone try and play the Tom Stewart role where you're just patrolling a little bit and you're not pressing as high and as aggressively. So I would have thought there would have been an adjustment to that last night, and I didn't see it. And I just, the other point, I thought, you know, that everyone would love a key forward, but what happens after Charlie Dixon? I mean, the amount of times Todd Marshall played from behind last night and wanted the easy one over the back and Georgiades, when the pressure was on, I didn't think their forwards presented up at the kicker as well, and they wanted the easy ones out the back. As a player, I think you've just got to adjust to that. So there was a few things that I don't think – I'm okay with the plan because I just described the plan, but there needs to be some adjustments to that plan when things don't go your way.
Yeah, well, we're going to agree to disagree on this one again.
I don't think this
plan stands up against the very best. And okay, I said so, it again last night.
So what plan? So is Carlton's plan any different to Port Adelaide's plan? Because it was a procession against they play a similar plan, strong from stoppage, lock in your front half. They got scored heavily against last week. Once you get through,
in a different manner, in a different manner, and that's a little bit to do with the way Geelong small forwards pinch forward. I just felt like they lose contact with their opposing forward far too easily. Burton comes off Rankin two or three times at the absolute wrong time. Asava worries me. I don't think he's the player that others do. I don't know if he's a guaranteed lock to be a quality AFL centre-half back. I just think he makes a lot of poor decisions, and that can be with ball or with positioning, releasing at the wrong times. I worry about the ball use of Houston and Farrell is terrific, but they just make a lot of strange decisions at the wrong time, particularly rolling off or trading up, as they like to call it. I thought Zirk Thatcher, who's looked really good at the start of the season, had a really poor night, and all the same problems come home to roost. So I think it's a different plan to the other clubs, definitely. I want to talk more about this game.
Yeah, no, we will. We will. We'll continue to talk about this. Drain relining is the no-dig, no-drama way to rehabilitate your assets, the drain man. The fallout from... It was a disastrous decision to play Connor Rosie last night, and we need to discuss that. We'll do that next, and more of Kingy's thoughts after the news headlines. All right, it's the showdown review. I just want to get this out the way. Want to listen to the Port Adelaide captain, Connor Rosie, speaking with Aaron Phillips on Channel 7, a pre-game last night.
You've obviously had some issues, hamstring, but you've done a lot of high-speed running this week. How are you feeling?
Yeah, pretty good, to be honest. I think it got probably blown out of proportion a little bit during the game. I sort of felt it a little bit, and I knew it wasn't major. It was more precautionary when they took me off. So obviously got through all the testing and was feeling pretty good the last couple of days. So, yeah, there was never any doubt yesterday, I don't think, whether I was going to play or not, but feeling good now.
Pretty obvious about 10 minutes into the first quarter that it wasn't going the way that they would have hoped. Here's Ken Hinckley's admission after the game.
Ken, the power of hindsight is a very powerful thing. Do you guys think you made a mistake playing Connor Rosie tonight?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I made a mistake playing Connor Rosie tonight. That was clear. It was obvious. All the testing that we'd done, all the medical support we could get, all the information I could get was Connor was able to, and I seen it with my own eyes, he was actually able to run as fast as he needed to, kick as long as he needed to. But once fatigue set in tonight, that was clear, and you know, you can be. I can try and hide behind that, but I'm not. I'm not cowed when it comes to owning a mistake, and that was what it was. Yeah, I think that's exactly what will happen. He'll have another scan, and we'll make sure there's no extra. If there is any extra damage, or because there was very little damage on the scan last, so that's why it was tricky.
Yeah, one thing I don't like doing is questioning the medical staffs of clubs, because they all have the best interests of their players at heart, and they make these tricky decisions with the best intentions. But it was just so obvious. Like, because you saw it last week, he couldn't go. Like, he did his hammy, came off, went back on, and he couldn't go. Like, he was limping around. So then to take a risk like that with a hamstring injury, and credit to Ken for saying I made the mistake, but I don't think that's just okay because you make a mistake. It was such a obvious mistake to avoid, and now the fallout is significant from it. So that was just another element that I thought that it felt bigger. We spoke about this pre-game with Bix. I said, worst case scenario for Port Adelaide is Port Adelaide lose, Connor Rosie plays poorly, and or he does his hammy, and this is going to be a huge story. I think it's a big story, the risk that they've taken there, and says a bit about the importance that they placed on this game and a risk that wasn't worth taking. Anyway, we'll wait and see now.
Six days.
He's probably going to, yeah.
Six-day break.
Exactly. It was ridiculous. You know.
Yeah. And it is easy in hindsight, of course it is. But and they have all the information, Cornsy. We're not here to question the medical science or the medical decision. But sometimes you've just got to take it out of the player's hands. This guy's too valuable a commodity to run any risk. If there was any doubt, and when I heard there was something on the scan, that's enough for me. That for a player who's a blue chip investment, an absolute top liner. Captain of your footy club, okay, it doesn't impact your ability to win this game. Of course it does, but we've got to play the long game, don't we?
I think I measure myself on what do the best clubs do, right? So what is and I know Dangerfield's done his hammy and you question his training and how much high speed running they're doing, but take you back to the grand final with Holmes, who puts his hand up and says, "I'm good to go." This is a grand final, and Chris Scott says, "Nah. You're not playing." Like he was past fit. He was sprinting. Yeah. He was doing all the things that Rosie was doing. And this is a grand final. Now, you could say, well, Stephen May played with a torn hammy for Melbourne and that worked. And you're right. And there's a lot of players that play that we would have no idea that they're going in under a cloud. But when it was so public and when you weigh up the risk and reward of this decision that you make, the risk just was too great to make that decision.
But even the messaging was false. So we mentioned this last night. So in the pregame, they say, no, nothing on the scans, nothing to see. He's 100% right to go. He's cleared. There's no issue. And then after the game, they say, oh, look, you know, if we're being truthful, there was something on the scan. I mean, if we're being truthful, like if there's something on the scan, what are you doing?
Yeah, you can have your say on that. 1-300-736-736. Do we need to pay some credit to Adelaide? Or
absolutely. I thought they were... What do you like about Jake Soligo? I think he's a player they're just going to build this midfield around. I think I mentioned it last night, and not saying that this guy's going to win Brownlows, but he plays a little bit like Lachie Neale, really in and under. He's got that low centre of gravity. He takes the ball from inside to out. He tried to do a bit too much early in the game last night. He got nabbed a few times, but he's only played 45-odd games of footy, so he's learning the caper. He's the one they've got to build around, Cornsy.
Like everything about him is to answer your question. And he's been the one, it's amazing, that's really changed the course of the season for them, really. Like when he went into the midfield against Frio, there was like, okay, there's a lot here. And then from there, he's just been, he's been unbelievable, really, consistently doing it. And now that he belongs at level, I just want to, Max Michelinie is the next Jake Lever. Well, what he's doing in his second year is enormous, and him and Worrell are forming a really nice combination. They took six intercept marks between them last week. They dominated that third quarter. And you think, yeah, okay, that's okay, but that's against North. But Michelinie does it every week. He beats his opponents and good opponents and then comes off at the right time. So thought he was enormous. Nixie, you know, lauded their back six last night. Hard to disagree with that. When you absorb nearly 60 entries and defend as well as they did last night, this is exactly what they needed to give them the belief. That's the footy that I saw them play last year. Wow. Incredibly tough, contested, hard to play against, defend well, and then devastating to score. And that was exactly what you saw again last night for the Crows.
That's why I keep endorsing this guy as a coach. And we've had our arguments about the re-signing of this guy and all that sort of thing a month ago and compared this to the Justin Longmuir discussion. I see it with this guy. I see the ball movement. I see the defensive pattern to assess that this is all going wrong in the midfield and to have the courage to make change on the run is a difficult thing for coaches to do. He spun the magnets in that midfield,
and he had to though. Like that wasn't that the obvious move?
Well, look, there's obvious moves everywhere in AFL footy at the moment that aren't getting adjusted.
They got Brisbane at home next week, and who knows what sort of Brisbane team's going to. turn up, and then Collingwood at the MCG the week after.
So having said what you've just said about Port Adelaide and the succession planning, all that sort of stuff, have they made an error with the two-year extension for Ken?
No, I stick to what I said last year. When you've put a timeline on it that it is August, and you've publicly done that as a club, and then you've won 13 in a row, and you've finished top four, and you're on the eve of the finals, to then go into a final series with uncertainty around the coach and that shadow over you ahead of a final series where you feel like you're in a good position, to then go, no, we're just going to wait on the coach and we're going to see how the finals plays out. I don't think they made an error. Now, you could question the error that was made in terms of putting the time frame on it, but once you'd done that and then you'd won 13 in a row, you're going into a final series where you qualified top four, I'm not going to be critical of that. Now, it's a two-year contract. They haven't signed him for 5 years. They've got a plan in place. Clearly, he's been there for a long time. We get it. And he gets it. And the whole club gets it. The supporter base gets it. Has it gone on for 2 or 3 years too long? Maybe, but they've been pretty successful.
It's a big concession from you. I haven't heard you talk like that.
No, that's I said a big that, concession. I said that last year.
No, you didn't. Last year you said he's a great coach. We had this chat for 15 minutes.
I think he is. I think
he can't be considered a great coach.
Well, maybe greats, but he's been such a great contributor to that football club.
Agree with that.
And all of that. And I mean, he's been twice a kick away from a grand. Like you got to understand how close he's been with a squad that I don't think is comparable to some of the others in the league. You go through how many top 10 draft picks are on Port Adelaide's list. There's hardly any.
Mate, after you've been there 10 to 12 years, it's your squad, mate.
And he's got really close. So it's coming to the point where everyone knows where it is at. He knows where it's at. They're mature about it, and I don't think there's no need to do anything drastic.
No, there's not.
Now, like they're a good footy side.
This is their lot now.
They'll be in the mix. And last year they won't be in the mix. They'll be in the mix for finals.
Oh, for finals. Yeah. Terrific. We're here to win flags, aren't we?
Well, how many are in the mix for? How many teams can win the flag? Three. So we'll just give the 15 others give up.
No, we're talking about them being contender last year, and they what, 6-7 games later, you're saying, oh, that's it. No, it's succession planning. Oh, we knew this.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I said they're in the mix, and you said they're not in the mix. There's only three teams that are in the mix for the flag. Like, are we talking? So, do the Saints give up? Do Essendon give up? No, do Frio give up? Do Adelaide give up?
That's not rational. That discussion. That's not a rational discussion. Seriously.
Well, if you're talking in the mix for a flag,
they're all building towards a flag. Under Ken right now, they are stagnating right now. Port Adelaide before your very eyes.
Port Adelaide than a lot of the other teams.
You just told me the list was no good.
Well, they don't have. That's why I give Ken credit, because he's done a pretty good job with not a lot of weapons. That's the discussion we always have around this. And if
there's some pretty good weapons in there, to be honest.
But who?
Pretty handy midfield running around.
Yeah, he's got a good.
Every time they get a kick, I see Ice Bath pop up on me
Twitter. How good is he? He's unbelievable. Anyway, that was our review of the game last night. 1-300-736-736 is the Mimosa Homes open line. Mimosa Homes Platinum Promotion is now on. Visit them and give us a call next.